invulnerable up here today. Nobody can rush me. Not even a smile. You people, lighten up. It's a beautiful day out. Gorgeous, isn't it? So I don't trip and fall on my face. We're not going to do slapstick comedy this morning. But it is just wonderful what the Lord is doing here and elsewhere. And it is easy to get discouraged because we look around and say, well, there's nobody here this morning. Well, there is. You're here. You're not nobody. And the Lord is using us and doing things, and there's many of our number who, for one reason or another, aren't here. But they'll be back. And we'll be bringing others. The Lord isn't done with us here yet by a long shot. Just briefly, I'd like to request your prayers for me for the next 2 days in particular. Thursday morning, there was a young boy, age of 14, here in town, name of Blake Westerlund, who died of suicide. And I've been ministering to the family. They've asked me to come to the review today, and I'll be praying there, and then I'll be speaking at the funeral. The funeral will be at Edinburgh Church, as one of the uncles is a member there. But they really don't have any close ties. But God is good. I will give you this piece of good news. Even though this family hadn't had much in church connections of late, he did go with a friend of his through Living Word camp this summer and did receive Christ at camp. So it is with great peace that I hear that news. But just pray that the Lord give me the words to say as I come alongside of these family members and friends who are in the midst of deep sorrow. And a lot of them are open and asking questions right now. And what is said to them is very important. So pray that I would say the right thing. Let's turn our Bibles to the Gospel of John. And we're into the home stretch here, people. We've got maybe three more sermons after today, and we'll be finished with the Gospel of John. Believe it or not, we only started it a year and a half ago. But we're getting there. Gospel of John, chapter 20, starting with the 24th verse. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you are willing to redeem us. Father, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit right now to minister to us in this place, that you would illuminate these scriptures for us and give us understanding. Father, I pray for myself that as I preach the word, it would be your truth and your word that I speak and no one else's. And that it would be your name that is lifted up and given glory and no one else's. And Father, I pray that each person who is here or ever hears this message, that you would give them what it is that they need for that day, for this day. That piece of spiritual comfort and spiritual food that they need to be strengthened for their life, for tomorrow and this week, and for today and right now. Father, bless your people through the preaching of your word. Might I not get in the way, but instead, might you use me to help reveal more of you and your love to those around. In Jesus' precious, most holy name. Amen. Everybody knows the story of Doubting Thomas. A lot of people know of the phrase Doubting Thomas ever before they've heard of the scripture passage. It has worked its way into our society. Now that person's a Doubting Thomas. What is it that makes somebody a Doubting Thomas? That is somebody who will not believe unless they have personally experienced something. So it does not matter who testifies or what evidence there might be. Unless they have personal experience, they will not believe. Anybody ever meet anybody like that? Anybody ever been anybody like that? Thomas isn't the only one in the Bible who falls into that criteria. There's another apostle who falls in there pretty soundly, and that would be Saul, who becomes Paul. The apostle Paul was definitely a Doubting Thomas. Think about it. Saul, before his name was changed to Paul, was present at the trial and stoning of Stephen. He heard Stephen's testimony. And he saw him die. And as he was being stoned, praying to his Father in heaven, to our Father in heaven, that these people who were stoning him would be forgiven. That's kind of a pretty strong testimony. And he saw that type of testimony again and again. People whose faith in Christ was so strong that they wouldn't repudiate it, even unto death. Because Saul ran around with a warrant to arrest these people and to bring them to judgment for this. It wasn't until he had that Damascus Road experience where he personally came face to face with Christ and lost his eyesight because of it temporarily. It was not until that point that he had belief, that he had faith in Jesus Christ. But we don't talk about a doubting Saul. But we talk about doubting Thomas, whose best friends, people who he'd spent 3 years with, walking all over land of Israel. These people said, "We have seen the Lord. I'm not going to believe what you have to say unless I see with my own eyes. Unless I touch those wounds with my own hands, I'm not going to believe that it's really him. You've all been tricked." You see, you can have, your eyes can be tricked and your brains can be tricked. Mine can't be. It's kind of an arrogant type attitude, but that, a lot of people get like that. You are incapable of properly assessing the situation. Only I myself am capable of truly understanding it. That is the attitude that Thomas is giving. And anybody who is that doubting Thomas type person, we say, unless I see. We need to understand that there are some people out there that we can take the gospel to. We can present our life's testimony. We can present the truth of the Scriptures. We can show them changed lives. But until they personally come face to face with the risen Christ, they're not going to believe, just as Thomas didn't. Just as Saul didn't. So don't get frustrated. It's not our job to bring someone to salvation. It's our job to bring the gospel to them and the Lord through the Holy Spirit to bring them to salvation. That's our task. That's your task. That's my task. See, he is indeed the risen Lord. And we see proof of that when Thomas does come to that face-to-face with Christ. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Well, that's kind of vague. Does he mean that Jesus is really God? Or does he mean that Jesus is a God, small g, you know what's... No, there's nothing vague here in this statement. My Lord and my God. He's giving him worship. He is saying, you are indeed the Messiah. You are indeed the Son of God. You are indeed the Christ. And Jesus receives this act of worship. We talk about how we need to praise the Lord. Worship. In that act, Jesus confirms this statement. Because if Jesus is not God, for him to receive the praise of God would be sin. It'd be as wrong there is. It would be the very definition. This is the act for which Satan got thrown out of heaven, coveting, seeking the Lord's praise. Yet Jesus received it unto himself. People, if there was ever a verse or part of the Scripture which lays out the very divinity of Christ, this is it. Thomas saying, "My Lord and my God," and Jesus said to him, told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus tells us that those who have not seen and have yet believed are more blessed, or are blessed, because they heard and they believed. There's a special blessing in that. That's a blessing that was absent from Paul. He didn't have that blessing. But yet, I think you can make a pretty strong argument that he did a fair job of following the Lord and presenting the gospel to the world. Yet this is a blessing that's there for you and me and each person who has received Christ without having that face-to-face encounter. Now, I'm not going to tell you that there aren't people out here not today who yet have those face-to-face encounters with Christ. I believe there are. But there's a special blessing for those who hear the word and receive it. Now, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. That is the purpose of the Gospel of John. When you go to Bible college and they sit you down and they say, okay, now when we look at the Gospel of John, you know, where is the purpose of the book? This is the verse. Chapter 20, verse 31. This is the one that they point to and said, this is the purpose. Well, how do we know that? Because it tells us. This is why this was written. But these are written that you may believe. They're written for our benefit. Now, there's something funny about something that's written. If you don't read it, it's not necessarily a lot of good. It can be of benefit to have it as a reference to go back to upon occasion. Some of us have those types of books, those writings, which we keep on the shelf, and we just go back to as somebody says, oh yes, I'll go here and I'll look it up, and it talks about there. But there are other things, I think, that we need to keep in front of us. We're told that we need to be taking in the Word of God, and here, I think it's just one more part that's to encourage us to be reading Scripture regularly. Now you could say, well, I read it once a year, whether I need to or not, you know, and call that regular. I think something more like along lines of a daily basis would be more appropriate. But not that you have to read chapters or books, but a verse, maybe two. And just meditate on the Word of God, because this was written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You may have life in His name. There is nothing more important than that. And the entire purpose. This. Okay, I'll back up. Maybe I'm wrong in saying that there's nothing more important than that. Obviously, God is much more important than I will ever be. And whether I live and go to heaven or whether I die and go to hell is of much less importance than that God receive the glory that is due His name. But the best way I can see to it that God does receive the glory due His name is for me to live. That's the best way for you to do it. to live eternal life in His name. So what do we do with the doubting Thomases? There really isn't much you and I can do. We can take him to this, and we can show it to him. But you know what? They're not going to receive it from us. They're going to require an intervention by the Holy Spirit, who's going to have to come in and have that one-on-one encounter with them. And if that's in God's plan, that'll happen. That you and I just need to be faithful in presenting this written word. The love of Christ. Put to the page. The love of Christ. Put to our lives and lived out. And then just maybe. The other Thomases in this world will indeed receive. And believe. Let's remember that our task is just to present it. Our task is to believe and to live in His name. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You that You have given us life. In Your name. Eternal life. That's there for you and that's there for each person to receive. It's a gift from You. And Lord, that You have a special blessing for us. For receiving this word. Oh Lord, help us to live our lives in Your name, live in them in such a way that we do bring honor and glory to Your name. For You are indeed my Lord and my God. You are my Savior and Redeemer. You are my brother at the same time. You are my father. And You are my God. Help me, Lord. Help each one of us to believe and live. Worthy of Your name. Amen.